From the Draco Vista Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, unlocking secrets of writing, conversing with masters of the craft, and just having a lot of fun. It's the Dragon Page, cover to cover.
Hey everyone, bringing you all kinds of exciting things on books and literature. I'm Michael Armenenge.
I'm Sam Roberts.
And I'm Michael Stackpole.
And we're back again. I can't believe it. It's been so many years and all of a sudden, here we are.
And now you can't get rid of us.
We're on all the freaking time. You'll just get sick of us at some point. So you had Mike had a major topic here that he said we have to talk about. It's imperative.
Yeah, this has been important. It's an ongoing topic. I doubt it's going to be resolved by the time that you guys are listening to this. We're probably recording it about 10 days before you guys will get this. What's been going on is that because of the Apple antitrust lawsuit,
okay,
all of the agreements that book publishers, the Big Five, had negotiated with Amazon were considered null and void.
Oh, mm-hmm. I do remember reading something about this, yes.
And Amazon is now renegotiating all of these, what were referred to as agency contracts, or renegotiating these contracts with the publishers. Hachette, which is the big French publisher.
Or if you're American, it's called Hatchet.
It's called Hatchet, yeah. Over here, it's called Hatchet. Is involved in this nasty little knife fight with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Where Amazon has been saying that Hatchet books will be delayed 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm.
Amazon is saying that they can't get supplies in. Hachette is saying that they're not ordering things.
Amazon has taken away the ability to pre-order some of their authors' books.
Yeah, you can't pre-order their books. They've been running banners saying, if you like this book, you could get this one
from a different publisher.
Well, yeah, similar to this book, you could get it right now.
Yeah, they're offering suggestions to basically bait and switch kind of stuff.
And these are not unpopular authors, right? There's some big ones on this.
They really are. I mean, and so this is a full bore battle. Now, this time last year, and I had a book that got caught in the battle this time last year. Simon & Schuster and Barnes & Noble were having a fight where Barnes & Noble took one copy of each of Simon & Schuster's books that came out in July, which is why my World of Warcraft novel didn't even have a shot at hitting the New York Times bestseller list. Because in every bookstore in America, there was one copy.
Oh.
And if you wanted to buy it after that, you had to special order it.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, which was just, death itself, for that particular title. So this fight has been going on. It's been brewing over the last 3 weeks. Last week, at the end of the week, Hachette announced that they had cut a deal with Books A Million, where Books A Million is going to become an online retailer for them.
Hmm.
And so they're using all the negative publicity that was going back and forth between Amazon and Hachette. And they use that to propel this new deal, which then is one of the Big Five is now basically giving their business to a rival of Amazon.
Yeah.
And what's the interesting thing about that is that all of the Big Five publishers have got to renegotiate with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest of the big kids is Random House.
Right.
Random House Penguin.
Yeah.
Right.
And, they are the largest commercial. And so they're just sitting back there watching.
Seeing what happens.
And you have to remember that Random House used to own its own series of bookstores. Scrivener's/Doubleday Bookstores.
Yeah.
Used to be theirs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So that was all part of that was legacy stuff out of the Depression era and before.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if Random House decides that they are going to anoint somebody. But what's happening in this whole fight is the, Amazon says, look, we're just trying to make sure that we drive prices down to keep prices down for the
customer,
for the customers.
Right.
And Hachette says, hey, look, we just want to make sure that we can afford to feed our families.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. And because there's not a whole huge amount of profit their not for the authors. There's for the corporations, I'm sure. There's
the corporations, book publishers habitually run a profit margin of about 10% a year. Mm-hmm. They generally make 10% a year profit.
Which I still don't understand off ebooks because
the whole way those numbers go,
that is some fuzzy math magic. That I just do not understand.
Oh,
there.
I wish it was.
Is
magic.
It Common Core?
It really is Common Core math.
If it was magic, we could figure it out. Okay. But this is like chaos theory on steroids.
Well, it really is. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I understand the bandwidth. I understand the hosting thing. We do that and deal with freaking time. But once you get past that, there's a break point where it's costing nothing to send those electrons down the wire and people picking it up on the other side. I do not get that math. They're saying that they're losing so much money or they're barely making margin on them. Whatever.
To a certain extent, in the second half of the show, we'll talk about some of that.
Okay. There's just so much here.
Right. The people that are really getting hurt are the authors,
mm-hmm.
Because it's the authors whose
collateral
books,
damage, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's just shrapnel everywhere, and it's pages, and it's, you know, I feel worse for the author who sold his first science fiction novel,
yes,
and now it's, you can't order it over Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and Amazon's got 75% of the domestic market, I mean, that is a career killer.
Right.
I mean, he's a career killer.
One of the books I know that's impacted is the new J.K. Rowling writing a mystery under another name.
Right.
Big whoop.
Mm-hmm.
That lady has plenty of money. This will not kill her. But there's most of the authors aren't that big, don't make that kind of money.
No, not at all.
You have no control over this, right? There's nothing you can, you just have to stand back and see what hits you.
You just weep. All you do is weep.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the unnamed, the no-name authors, the ones that are still that are trying to struggle their way up and trying to find their way up. You know, Rowling, J.K. Rowling, you know her name. Mm-hmm. If you can't buy that book or you can't find that book, you'll wait a few weeks to pick it up someplace else. It's because she's a name. She's built. She's established.
Mm-hmm.
But John Smith from Wilmington, Ohio, who you just happened to capture this person who would be willing to buy your book because your introduction or the blurb that was on your book just caught him for that second, and they can't get it.
They move on.
They're not going to find John Smith again. They're not going to go look for him 2 weeks later when they find him in a bookstore or find him from some other place.
So how much do we know about what the specific sticking points are between?
We have no clue. Oh,
okay. So we don't know if somebody's being, I mean, there are obviously some bullying tactics from Amazon here, but we don't really know who's the asshole in this scenario if they both are.
The NSA wishes it was as secure as the negotiations. I mean, that's, you know, where is Edward Snowden when we need him? So we have no idea what those sticking points are.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some rumors that it has something to do with pricing on ebooks,
mm-hmm.
and how they're going to do that, and so it's dealing with those margins and the fight for the ebook market, and so that's the. You know, that's going to be the future of publishing. That's what everybody's seeing is the future of publishing. And so that's what they've got to.
So what about like writer organizations like the Science Fiction Writers Association? I mean, are there any types of organizations that authors are a part of that are sort of for promoting, defending and helping them that can leverage any sort of thing? No, that's not.
Those organizations are ambassadors for that portfolio.
Okay.
And there's nothing that they can do about any of this stuff. I mean, at best, CIFWA or Writers Guild or any of those can sympathize with their members, but there's really nothing that they can do. Because they haven't even, CIFWA doesn't even have its own bookstore on its own website for selling members' books. Okay, so that sort of organization hasn't gone that far.
Mm-hmm.
So this is because this is brand new territory, and because it is so changing, not only how books are retailed to individual customers, but over the past 20 years, what I have to look at as an author and how I do things going forward
mm-hmm.
has utterly and completely changed.
Oh, the landscape is so different now.
Yeah, it is. It is entirely different. But if we want to go to a break, then we come back. I can talk about some of that, the way the landscape is going to be changing, the stuff that everybody is going to be able to look at going forward for our authors.
No breaks.
We don't need a break.
No, we don't need a break.
No,
not even for dramatic effect.
Hardcore.
You want dramatic music, Michael.
Right. Yeah.
We can do for dramatic effect. I have that ability.
All right.
I'll find something to put in here. Okay, you know what? I'll dig something up.
All right, there we
some
go.
Some heavy organs or something. Yeah, you know, maybe some Jaws music, the Imperial March.
Dragon Moon Press. Bringing you some of the most exciting new authors in sci-fi and fantasy. Their titles open new worlds and bring unforgettable characters to readers just like you. Bring the magic and wonder of dragons to your child with Dragon's Fire, Wizard's Flame by Michael R. Menengay. Write your own story with a complete guide to writing fantasy. Books by Dragon Moon Press. Sci-fi, fantasy, and beyond. Order these titles from your local retailer or visit the website at dragonmoonpress.com.
All right, we're back. Our dramatic effect. I have no idea what I'm putting in there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it was really awesome. It was magnificent.
It was amazing. I'm sure you wanted to hear that.
I am buying one of those right now. Right now. Just you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm putting the order through on the iPad right now.
All right.
No. You know, I was talking before the break, that tremendous break, talking about how things have changed. You know, back in the late 80s, when I started going to conventions, you would get travel expenses and you'd get a hotel room. Mm-hmm. So they would fly you in, or they'd pay for your gas if you're going to drive in, and you get a hotel room. And then in the late 80s, conventions started adding per diems. And now it's getting to the point, you know, in the turn of the century, they began asking if you wanted a table in the dealer's room. Mm-hmm. Because as they started getting more and more media guests coming in, even to the smaller conventions, guests suddenly were getting tables in the dealer room and would be selling stuff. And I mean, when I started out, the only authors that had tables in the dealer's room were self-published authors.
Yes. Those horrible self-published
Oh my God. Yeah.
We don't want to.
Pariahs.
Don't look at them. They might
put them in the corner with the lepers.
That's right. Yes.
No, what do you have against lepers? I mean, you know.
That's right. Don't give lepers a bad name.
That's right.
Wowzers.
So that has, now it has come all the way around. I was at Salt Lake Comic Con in the beginning of the year, and Phoenix Comic Con, I've done this for a number of years, where authors actually, you know, you get a table, you bring in a lot of stock, you're bringing in books that you're releasing specifically at that convention.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've got for Phoenix Comic Con upcoming next week, is I've got a brand new print version of a book that I did as a digital original. And it's an alternate history set in the near future. But it involves agents with Homeland Security Services, which is to the Department of Justice what the Green Beret is to the Army. Mm. And this is a universe where the first Twin Towers bombing worked. So we take everything from 2001 and we kick it back to 1993 and you throw some other stuff. So we're looking at a contemporary America that's been 20 years under this sort of stuff. And so taking a look at that. But one of the things that I did is I had an artist make up a logo for the Homeland Security Services, and I did a patch for it, which actually looks really official. It's really scary. And so at that convention, basically this summer for convention specials, you know, that patch and the book I'll sell for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, this is something that it'll be a unique thing that people can get. While I was at San Diego Comic-Con, I talked to Kevin J. Anderson. He has an account with Ingram, the book distributor,
mm-hmm.
for buying copies of his own books. And I ended up going and setting up an Ingram's account as well for buying copies of my own books. Random House is a very progressive program where they will sell authors copies of their own books at 50% off,
mm-hmm.
and no shipping, so that you can get them in. So you know, I there is no reason why I, as an author, should not, in addition to be retailing my own ebooks, I should not be retailing my own physical books.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and what Amazon certainly knows, mm-hmm. and what the publishers have not cottoned onto, And what every author needs to remember is that any web page is one click away from putting money in your pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every web page is a store.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
You know, and so it's like I say, it is just one click. And whether that one click sends somebody over to Amazon to get it or sends them to my store to get it,
mm-hmm.
the difference is I make a
or
lot
more. Or Books a Million now.
Or yeah,
Books a Million.
But the point is that we as authors now are going to be a lot more like folk singers singing in a bar. You know, working for tips,
mm-hmm.
but making money off of selling CDs.
Yeah. Do you find that to be more common and more necessary with genre writers? Because I think there's more of a convention scene there than other. Yeah.
But we're even seeing it. We're seeing it more and more. You know, science fiction and fantasy were certainly the first ones for these big conventions. But mystery has fallen.
Mystery
on.
And romance. Yeah.
Mystery, romance. Western writers.
Oh, I
Western,
didn't know.
Western writers have them. Western writers are actually one of the most progressive groups, even though they're ancient. All of them are ancient. they are some of the most progressive guys in addressing technology and addressing a lot of the ways that of doing collaborative storytelling and sharing properties and doing self-publishing. They're a lot sharper than certainly CIFWA members are as an aggregate. And it's largely because I think a lot of the Western writers really didn't know about the technology, but the people who were running the organization said, this is going to be the future. This is how you interface with it.
Yeah.
And we were talking before about writers' organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Writers Guild under Scott Turow has been absolutely dead set against this ebook stuff and dead set against dead set against indie publishing and those things because he and a lot of other individuals have hitched their wagon to traditional publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's very short-sighted.
It is very short-sighted, but I believe that that's what he sees as what his membership wants. And so that's what he's doing.
Yeah, but sticking your head in the sand doesn't make technology go away. Technology is going to exist whether or not you go sign on to it or you're on board with it or not.
You're right, essentially alienating a potential customer
absolutely,
base.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, but the point is that I think for a lot of these guys, you know, who didn't want to learn the technology, their publishers come to them and say, dearie, don't worry your pretty head about that. Mm-hmm. You just write your stories and I'll take care of you.
Wow.
And look, you know,
that's true.
Authors are, I heard it said about motorcyclists and I probably used it on these shows before. A motorcycle rider once told me, he said, there are two types of motorcycle riders, riders who have gone down and riders who are going down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's the same thing with writers. There are writers who have had a career interrupt and have got hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And there are writers who will,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's just, you know, very few of them go out on top.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even look at Tom Clancy.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Clancy, you could say went out on top. But when you look at what his peak was versus what he was selling when he went out.
Big difference.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, what we do when we hit a big market, our market taste will shift. And if we don't shift with them. You know, mm-hmm. we're dead in the water. Again, you know, singers are a really good example. You know, look at somebody like Tony Bennett, who was big millions of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then somehow got rediscovered and made a comeback, and now is tailing off again.
So you really see this everywhere, right? Because there's a good analogy for what's going on with in the writing world with singers, like you said, with like, you know, people releasing music independently. Prince only releases his stuff online independently versus, mm-hmm. you know, like that whole industry has changed enormously. There's a parallel with the Amazon and Hatchet stuff that has been happened several times in television, right? We now see big fights between content providers and content purveyors, right? Like big channels that shut down because they can't agree on, because somebody says you want too much money and I don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's all the technology driven stuff. And it's adapt or perish, right? Like if you don't figure out the way to work in the new paradigm, whatever your profession.
Well, and it's also that all of these things are entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And entertainment, what we do is not as important as food or shelter.
It's optional.
Or power. It is optional.
Truly, it's your buggy whip analogy. I mean, it is a perfect example. I mean, you can be the greatest buggy whip manufacturer in the world. You can be the number one. But guess what? You're probably not going to sell shit because
nobody has buggies nobody anymore unless you're Amish. Yeah. There's a very small market for that.
It's a very small market. You've got the Amish and you've got the Mennonites. That's it. There
well,
you go.
Well, the sex fetish guys. But,
well,
you know,
that's a different kind of whip.
But,
different kind of whip.
But hey,
you know way
if you
too
started,
much about these whip things. I'm just telling you.
I do have a friend that runs the local dungeon. But we won't go into that. The amazing thing you learn when your friend is really in the kink scene. It's fascinating. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that later. But like there is.
I actually am going to probably bring her on this.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And actually, that content will be behind the paywall that we're putting in place.
That's right.
That.
But let's talk about the buggy whip maker pivoting into the fetish scene, right? Because
there
people start to drive buggies less and less, but kink is more and more okay.
There you
right.
go.
So
right.
that would be a smart pivot for somebody to make yep. as things change.
Exactly. There you
right?
go.
Yeah. Hmm. So to a certain extent, you know, what authors I think have to begin to another analogy that I really kind of like is think of yourself as being a word farmer. You know, you're producing all of these crops
mm-hmm.
and you might sell a chunk of them, half your output, you know, to the big manufacturer, to the traditional publishers. But boy, you know, you're going to be selling for cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you save a bunch of stuff and you set up your own roadside stand,
mm-hmm.
you can actually make a decent amount of money.
As long as them damn boll weevils stay out of it, it'll be fine.
But there's way more hustle in it for you now than previously. Like once you're, yeah.
Yeah, because, you set these things up, like especially with electronic books. Boy, you set these things up and, you know, the only thing I have to do is look at the notification saying someone sent me money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, you know, that is the sum and total of it. You know,
that's
do
a high
bit
point
of
my day. I love when I see that. Somebody sent me money.
Yeah, exactly.
We can run the show for another week. Yay!
But so I think what you're going to end up seeing is I think you're going to end up finding a lot more authors basically are going to be in the position that Hatchet is. Where we end up setting up our own bookstores
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because I can't afford to have my living interrupted because two knuckleheads in Seattle and New York,
mm-hmm.
you know,
can't get their crap together.
Exactly.
Well, and cooperatives, I mean, author cooperatives getting together, you know, it may be you and 10 other authors that are kind of in the similar
genre. The only problem with that is that you
so
have to deal with authors.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Well, and that's the thing, though. That's a whole separate set of skills you have to learn right. and have in order to do that successfully. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, authors have been able to, you know, live in their own little world, write their stuff, and give it to somebody who makes it happen.
If we could do right. bookkeeping, we would not be authors.
Right, there's all this stuff around.
Yeah,
that is true.
You know, and so you have to learn. You have to learn in order to be really effective. You have to have some technical skill. You have to have some social media skill. Mm-hmm. You have to suddenly have a lot of, you know, people skills that people may or may not have. Like there's this whole set of how I successfully hustle and augment my income besides the traditional publishing model.
Right.
Yeah. Now, to your point, to be fair, though, I mean, there are cooperatives. There are mm-hmm. authors that have gotten together in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Either to work on individual projects or a little bit more ambitious thing of having a central warehouse where books are being drop shipped and sent out. One of the difficulties with that with authors is that unless you're all in sort of local proximity, one of the advantages obviously of buying from me is that I can sign the books.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that there's a value added there as a draw. And so if you're going to have a cooperative of authors, you know, you certainly will be able to have signed books,
mm-hmm.
But you may not be able to have personalized books,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless for some reason, you know, it's like, hey, you know, Tim Zahn it's wintertime. Tim Zahn's going to come down and visit. He's going to be in Phoenix. So, you know, I've got 24 copies of his latest book, you know, send in your orders. Tim's going to come over one afternoon. Going to sign all of these things and we're going to send them mm-hmm. out, you know.
Yeah,
so
very cool. Awesome. Well, I'd say
I think we probably have to get back together once all this hoo-ha with Hatchet and Amazon is resolved and do a sort of talk about what's happened and assess it and see what it means for
stole my train of thought. Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
And also just for all you guys, keep your eyes open. If you're going to conventions or you're likely to see a lot more authors and you're likely to see them having books right there that they can they can sell to you directly. And boy, that is a great way to support your authors.
Yeah,
no kidding. Absolutely. Well, I think that's going to do it for this show. Thanks, everyone.
Cool.
Boy, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a good conversation, guys. I really like that.
Yeah, this
shocked.
Works.
You sound shocked, Michael.
I am shocked. It was really a great conversation.
Well, we don't normally have those in this studio.
It's been a long time since we've done this show. It's just amazing to me that we could still just do it. Just
it's like getting
out of the
back
blue.
On the bicycle. Yeah,
that's
never
right.
Forget.
That's right.
Anyway, dragonpage.com. Follow us on Facebook. You can hit us on Twitter. Definitely follow us out there. We're out there, guys. If you want to send in some comments or you have some questions, email us, of course, or you can send an audio file to mike@dragonpage.com. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with more sometime. Thanks.